You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Jeffrey Flanagan. And camp opened in Surprise, Arizona this past week. Obviously a big camp for the Royals. A lot of interest in them coming off of last year's American League pennant run. And, you know, the Royals are a hot commodity right now. So Jeffrey's been on top of things down there in camp. Jeffrey, first off, when I was over there the other day, you know, one thing that stood out to me is just, I mean, Alex Gordon is just this physical specimen. You know, his routine and his endurance are just something to behold. Obviously, he's walking around with the cast on that wrist. He had surgery on over the winter, but I know he's making some progress. Took some dry swings earlier this week, which is better than wet swings, by the way. I always like to take dry swings. You got to see him, I'm sure. What are your thoughts on him and where he's at in his recovery right now?
Well, one thing we never had to worry about with him was him getting out of shape because of the surgery or the injury. I mean, the guy's just a workaholic. You know, he told me during the off season he was still doing his normal routine where he pumped iron every day and ran and ran and ran. And you'll see him run hundreds of sprints a day. He really doesn't ever eat junk food. You know, he's not had a cheeseburger in 5 years or something, and he, you know, he doesn't eat any type of bad food for him, so he's always in great shape. He looks fine to me. I talked to him today. He woke up and didn't feel any soreness or anything from throwing yesterday in the wrist, and today he took some dry swings with a fungal bat just to see if he could roll that wrist over a little bit, and he said that it turned out fine. So they're going to hold him back probably a little bit more, and he's not going to probably partake in any spring games until after the first week, but he's still adamant that he's going to be 100% ready for opening day.
Is there maybe it's a little bit of backtracking? I know last year there were reports that he was willing to exercise that player option for 2016. I believe it's about a $13 million option, which for a player of Gordon's caliber, especially a one-year deal, is on the low side of probably what he can get in free agency. So it sounds like now he's maybe not quite as sure which direction he'll go. What's your sense on that from talking to him?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell with him because he doesn't like to talk about contract stuff like a lot of players don't.
Yeah.
And you know, that one-year option, I think it's $13.25, which is still a pretty good chunk of money, but you don't know what kind of year he has. What if he has a great year? He doesn't want to shortchange himself, obviously, but, you know, it's. I don't think he's going to talk about it much more the rest of the season until maybe we get to closer to October or something like that. He just likes to push all that stuff behind him and just play ball. And I'm not sure how much he really committed to saying he was going to do it last year. I think he just kind of hinted at that,
right?
That it was a possibility. And now he's just kind of saying, well, I just don't know. We'll have to just see. He's just going to probably just, you know, see what the market might offer and go from there. And, you know, is he a $15 to $20 million player? Hard to say. You know, I mean, he's a 4-time Gold Glove winner, 2-time All-Star. You know, the Sabre guys love him. You know, in the eye test, you just don't think of Alex as a superstar that can command that kind of money. But maybe he will. Maybe he'll be able to. We'll see.
Yeah, you wonder because, I mean, today's game, there is so much value now placed on the defensive metrics that he rates so well. And him and Jason Howard, they both have interesting free agent cases when they get there. Hayward's obviously much younger than Gordon, but for both guys, the glove work plays a big factor in their value. Speaking of Gordon, when last the public at large saw him, he was on third base in Game 7 of the World Series, and I know this has been a hot topic in the early days of camp. Mike Drischel's the first opportunity to address that situation. I know there's been a lot of local and national reporters coming through Surprise to ask about it. When I was there the other day, Ned Yost said in no uncertain terms it would have been ludicrous to send Gordon. I think a lot of us might agree. But just watching, I guess, that circus surrounding poor Drischel, who, by the way, was, when we went into October, he was this great story, a minor league lifer who had worked so long to get the big league opportunity, and then obviously became a storyline for a different reason in Game 7. But What are your thoughts on how that's all been for him this first
year?
Well, he's
such a great guy, too. And actually, a little story here. We grew up 8 miles apart in northern Wisconsin.
Oh, right.
He grew up in Clintonville, Wisconsin. I grew up in New London, Wisconsin, eventually moved to Oshkosh. But we're small towns. We're real rivals. They were the Clintonville Truckers, and we were the New London Bulldogs. And it was always a big deal. So we've always given each other crap through the years. But I talked to him, after the season ending. I remember thinking at the time when the play happened that there was absolutely no way that he should have sent him, because I could see Crawford get the ball, 20 feet past the infield dirt. You know, Alex had kind of slowed up as he got to third and was checking Dershowl out. It didn't even dawn on me that would end up being an issue.
And
suddenly it became one because, they just had no hope against Bumgarner, but he's handled it so well, and I've seen people try to, what are the odds of him scoring versus whether Sal could get a hit or not, Sal Perez was the next hitter.
Right.
And, it's a valid point, but people kind of forget too that Sal Perez did homer off Bumgarner in game one. He was the only guy who actually hit a ball square off him in the whole World Series. So he's handled it well. I think Dayton Moore had one of the great comments during FanFest. Somebody came up to him and asked him about that. And he asked the fan, well, do you know who our third base coach is? And the fan couldn't answer that. He goes, well, you sure would have if he would have sent him and he got thrown out by 40 feet. Everybody in the world would know who Mike Scherchle was. So, there's no doubt in my mind he would have been out. It would have taken just a crazy wild throw. I mean, even a bad throw, Posey would have had time to probably go get it and come back to the plate. He would have been out by that much. So Judge has handled it well. He said he actually did his first interview of the spring, I think yesterday, where someone didn't ask him about it. So he considers that progress.
That's big progress. I know the Royals have had some fun with him too. Ned Yost was saying that the woman who came through to take their EKG test, he had her go up to him and say, aren't you the guy who held up Alex Gordon? What were you thinking? fun with him there, but another thing Yost said when I was over there was he wants to see he's hoping teams shift against Mike Moustakas in these spring games, because that's basically a mandatory bunt situation for him in exhibition play, where it's obviously non-binding results, and he wants Moose to have those opportunities to prove he can get down that bunt so that they don't shift him as much during the season. How big of a focus is that for Moose this year, proving he can do that?
It's going to be everything to him, because he was absolutely startled when opening day came about last year, and the Tigers went into a shift. You normally don't see that for 210 hitters, but they went into a shift right off the bat with him, and he'd come off this torrid spring, and we were all surprised, and he just did not handle it well. It's a smart move by the rest of the league to do this to him, because he is just one of the all-time dead pull hitters. Does not feel comfortable going the other way. You'll rarely see him actually, lower his knees and just drive a ball the other way. It's when he goes the other way, it's mainly because he might be late on a pitch and he kind of flares it that way. He did get a bunt single in the postseason, so he reminded me of that today. And we spoke quite a bit about what his approach is going to be this spring. I'm not sure teams are actually going to shift on him in the spring. I don't think they want to give him that advantage to try to do it that way. But he's got a lot to learn. He's got a lot of work to do. He's never been comfortable bunting. Throughout his whole career, he's been a power hitter through little league, high school, whatever. He's always just been told to go swing the bat. And so now he's got to learn a new part of the game. This is how you got to adjust and adapt in this league, as you know. And he's going to have to learn how to push bunts down there. And, I talked to Ned about it, too. And that's really, as you know, that's the only way you can get a few teams out of a shift is you can't just keep giving base runners first base time and time and again. If that wide open space is there, take it, push a 30, 50 foot bunt down there, get on base, and eventually they'll creep out of that shift. And then you can kind of go back and resume your normal hitting. So a lot of eyes will be on Moose this year. He's fooled us the last two springs. He's hit, I think it was 406 2 years ago and 486 or something like that last spring. And then just collapsed in April and May. So the fans are getting restless with him, I'll say that much. And he needs to show that he can do some different things this spring and go the other way. And then, of course, carry it on into April and May.
Yeah, he's been a Cactus League MVP in years past. I'm sure he'd trade that in a heartbeat for a better April and May. Last thing, Jeffrey, I found interesting. You caught up with Bubba Starling, who was obviously such a big name when he was drafted, and the whole baseball versus football equation. That's one of the nice benefits of spring training camp, is you get to hear from some of the voices deeper in the organization. But where's he at this point in his career?
It's really hard to say. I mean, the organization's trying to stay positive about him, and they rave about his defense, and you'll hear just about everybody in the organization, make the statement that he could play in the big leagues right now defensively. And he is a terrific athlete. Everybody knew that when he got drafted, three-sport star. So it's just a matter of whether he'll ever start hitting. His pitch recognition is still not very good. He struggles with breaking balls, struggles with changeups. He's not a great contact hitter. As he's gone up each level in the minor leagues, he's gotten worse at the plate, statistically at least. Now, they did say, several scouts told me that he had a pretty good fall league. His numbers don't show up, but he had some very good at-bats, and they thought that was progress for him. The clock is just starting to tick now. I think he's got two more years left, and then he'll have 5 years in the minors, and that's when you've got to decide about someone. And he needs to make a jump. I think they'll probably start him back at Class A Wilmington again this year and see if he can – make some strides there. They'd sure love to be able to push him up at least a double A at some point this year in an effort to make some progress. And we'll just have to keep an eye on him. Not every number one pick works, and he might be one of those guys that just doesn't. Just a local kid. If they had not drafted him, they certainly would have got ripped by everybody. And you just can't take the chance of him going somewhere else, maybe, and becoming a superstar. So it was kind of one of those deals where they had their hands behind their back. They almost had to take him because he is just such a legend around the Kansas City area. And, sometimes the light just goes off for these guys, as you know. So it just goes on for these guys. So we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah. All right, there you have it. A lot of good stuff there. We just really scratched the surface. Go to Royals.com. Jeffrey's all over it. A lot of great content there in these early days of camp and throughout camp. So, I want to thank Jeffrey Flanagan for joining us, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Kansas City Royals edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.